Only smart people get up early enough to listen to the Francine Marie Show. So thanks for listening, smarty pants.
Good morning, campers! Pick up your coffee cup, make a cup of tea, pour yourself a beer. Hair of the dog, it's the Francine Marie Show!
Good morning, thanks for joining us. We have a new best friend who is in the cannabis policy expert business. It's Nick Kovacevic. Hey there, Nick.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So let's talk about some marijuana. You know, they wouldn't let us talk about marijuana for a long time in media, right?
The dark days.
Nick Kovacevic is the CEO of Green Lane Holdings, one of the largest ancillary cannabis brands in the country. How'd you get this far, Nick? Talk to us.
Every year feels like seven. I've been in the biz now 11 years. It's been quite a journey. We started the company selling child-resistant packaging in 2010. The idea that we could service these medical marijuana clinics locally in California, we didn't really have the vision to see where this was going to go, but it started a snowball effect when Colorado legalized in 2014. And then we saw, you know, Washington follow, Oregon, Nevada, California. You know, we've got New York and New Jersey coming online, and about 60% of the population lives in a state that's fully legal for adult use, and 90% of the population lives in a state that's legal for at least medical use. We all believe it's just a matter of when, not if, that will be legal here federally. Cannabis will be treated on par like alcohol, which I still believe is unfair to cannabis, but it would be a great position to be in, considering our industry has been a Schedule I drug since 1970.
Tell our audience between schedule and deschedule, because we're trying to deschedule cannabis.
The DEA has a schedule list of substances, and Schedule I's the worst. Schedule I means that the substance is a propensity for addiction and it has zero medicinal benefit. Drugs like cocaine and meth are Schedule II. Shocking. Yeah, everybody knows that's highly inappropriate for cannabis, especially considering this is a federal government schedule list. Well, another branch of the federal government, the USPTO, has granted a patent for the medicinal benefits of cannabidiol, which comes from cannabis. So one branch is saying there is medicinal benefits, given a patent for it and an FDA-approved drug. Yet another branch is saying, hey, it's Schedule I with no medicinal benefits. So I think everyone realizes this is wrong and it needs to get fixed. And the question is, what do? Do you move it down to another schedule? Or what most people are calling for is to completely deschedule this plant. There's no reason cannabis should be on the schedule list if other much harsher drugs like alcohol are removed from the schedule list. And that's where we're headed.
Okay. All right. So riddle me this. So we send guys to prison, gals to prison, for having a pound of weed, two joints in the car. And when they get out, they're wondering, okay, we have stores now that sell this. Why am I still locked up?
Yeah.
And then I want to get into the social equity programs.
Terrible, terrible situation. You have someone like me that's profited off of this industry, right? Running a publicly traded company, Green Lane. We're trading on the NASDAQ, symbol GNLN. You know, we're doing something very similar because they were in the wrong state or in the wrong situation or maybe even the wrong skin color. They're now sitting in prison for something. And there's people in prison for crimes that if they were operating today in that state, would be completely legal, yet they're still sitting in prison. So there's a big push in the industry calling for federal expungement. I think there's, if you look at the candidates that should qualify that are nonviolent, I mean, it's close to 3,000 people that would get released immediately that are in federal prison. But each state has to do their work too. I mean, these states have yet to fully progress. I had a great meeting with Governor Polis from Colorado. They've got some additional expungement coming in that state. We're seeing progression, but I mean, what's taking so long? If something is now legal, let's let the people out of jail that are in there for something that they did that is now legal. It just doesn't make any sense.
How can we help those men and women who have went to jail for a small amount of marijuana? They're out now. And you know, when you get out, they just chastise you over and over, and you don't have a place to live. You don't have a job. You got all these bills. So how can we make it equitable for them to make money off what they went to jail for?
It's horrific that they're sitting in jail, but what you touched on is arguably even worse is, you know, trying to return to society after leaving jail. They're set up to fail. That's where expungement becomes extremely important in getting this stuff off of their records. We're proud at Green Lane. We partnered with an organization called Indica, and NDICA, we sponsored two expungement clinics where they actually set up shop. This one that we just did recently was in downtown LA, and advertise, and people that have convictions on the record can come and sign up, and they get free legal support to try to get those convictions completely expunged so they can actually get back into the workforce. So playing a small part, but big effort is needed to get this done nationally. And we're behind where we should be. There's other organizations that are working really hard at the federal level. One that we're involved in, actually a good friend of mine, Weldon Angelos is his name. And the organization is called the Weldon Project. You can visit theweldonproject.org and check it out. But he's doing a tremendous job. He got President Trump on his way out to pardon a lot of folks. They've been pushing the Biden administration to live up to their campaign pledge, which they were supposed to expunge, and they've been completely silent on that. You know, here coming up on 1 year in office, we haven't heard anything. You know, we saw some turkeys pardoned over Thanksgiving. That was it. Hopefully there's something there. But also the Weldon Project and Weldon Angelos has been working with Congresswoman Mace out of South Carolina on her new legalization bill. So this is a Republican bill that's out. It's crazy because the Democrats took control in January of all three branches. And everybody thought, oh, great, they're going to get cannabis done. And we saw a lot of tweets from Leader Schumer and Senator Booker, but no action. Now the Republicans look like they're the ones that are going to actually have a bill that could get done. They supported the Safe Banking Act. That was recently squashed by Schumer and Booker. So this was a bill that was under McConnell's leadership in the Senate was too broad. Now under Schumer, it's too narrow. So everybody's looking for Goldilocks. Our industry is wondering why we can't make any incremental progress. It's very frustrating. Weldon Angelos is doing great work. He's a person who was a victim himself. He was sentenced to 55 years in prison for dealing small quantities of marijuana. Luckily, through bipartisan efforts, Senator Booker, got to give him credit, was involved there. And even folks like Snoop Dogg and Charles Koch, all convening to get him out after, sadly, 12 years, I think he was in prison.
Jeez.
But you know, to his credit, he's now taking the efforts to get everybody else out, right? He really believes in this, and you know, it's a great organization that we're supporting. So I think there's enough going on that we might see a break here. There's enough momentum, and public opinion's at an all-time high, over 70% of people supporting legalization. So we're optimistic, but it just seems like every time there's a window or an opportunity, there's somebody that unfortunately throws the wet blanket on top and doesn't allow us to progress.
Where's the Sackler family when we need them paying off?
Yeah, they're getting off easy, and look at what they've created. And we've got an industry that's actually seen results in terms of helping people get off of opiates. And, you know, we can't even get the federal government to allow veterans, people that fought and risked their life for our country, to have the freedom to choose a plant-based medicine. It's just crazy. That's one of the other things that's just shocking to me that hasn't got done yet. We can't get people out of jail, and we can't give medicine to our veterans. How do we expect to fix any of the other larger issues with the society if we can't get those two things done, which I think 90% of people would agree, it's a no-brainer.
60 more seconds with you. What are your predictions for legislation for marijuana in 2022?
As an industry advocate and a CEO, my job is to always be optimistic. So I'm optimistic we'll get something done in the first half of the year. I mean, cannabis is a very, very popular issue. We saw in the presidential election, cannabis in the five states that it was voted on had overwhelming support, significantly more support than either presidential candidate, right? So with it being so popular, you would think one political party is going to try to capitalize on it ahead of the midterms. So that's where the optimism comes from. But I've been burned before, so I'll caution that optimism a little bit. Ultimately say, hey, we're going to keep fighting. Our industry is growing like crazy. We're employing hundreds of thousands of people, and it's all U.S. jobs that we're creating, right? Keep in mind, none of this stuff is imported from other countries, right? It's not like alcohol where you're getting vodka from Europe and tequila from Mexico. Everything's produced here in the US. So we have US labor growing these products, retailing these products. It's a safer way for consumers. You know, we're seeing people get sick from street drugs a lot with the opiates, right? The fentanyl that's laced in those. So again, getting these tested, labeled properly, put into child-resistant packaging, which we sell, creating jobs and taxes. It's a great thing. So I think we're going to see continued progression of that at the state level, and potentially we'll see some movement at the federal level in 2022, but don't hold your breath.
Okay. Hopefully we won't have to wait till 2024 or some crap like that. If you want to catch up with Nick, you can, he's on Twitter. He tweets Nick Kovacevic. So I'm going to spell Kovacevic for you. It's K-O-V-A-C-E-V-I-C-H. I want to thank you today. I got my Southern accent on. Thank you. Thank you. When you come to North Carolina, look us up.
It's actually just there not too long ago. Surprisingly, a buddy of mine lives in Charlotte. So I will definitely look you up next time I'm out. Thank you so much for having me on and wishing the industry and all the people that could benefit the best of luck as we move into the new year and hope that our elected officials can actually deliver.
Yeah, let's pump some positivity into their water. All right, Nick, thank you so much.
Cheers.
All right, your 1 hour public talk radio's up. Yeah, we did it. We talked about the marijuana. I am your hostess of the mostest, Francie Marie. Join us next weekend, same time, same station. And until we meet, I need you to have a good week, a good weekend, and a great 2022. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for joining us for the Francie Marie Show, where we address issues concerning you and your family.
That's all for now. See you next week.
Please, please do not harm us. We have come to your planet for one thing. The Francine Marie Show. It's the only content we can digest.